Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're kicking off this week daily editorials with an update from Silvercrest Metals, but also more of a macro take on the markets, filtering down into the weakness that we have seen also come into the precious metal stocks. So Silvercrest Metals is traded on the TSX under the symbol SIL and on the NYSE under the symbol SILV. We are chatting with the president, Chris Ritchie. Now, Chris, market-wise, I think everybody saw the weakness last week. That was really a carryover from weakness that has been in the financial markets this whole year. It's been, in a way, kind of an orderly sell-off where the last couple of weeks we really started to see a contagion impact stocks across the board. Silvercrest Metals was not immune to that. The majors were not immune to that. And the explorers, the smaller, more leveraged plays, those hadn't really done much anyway in terms of the upside, so those are really in the dumpster. But Chris, when you view this sort of environment in context with Silvercrest Metals, where you guys are nearing the completion of the construction at the Las Chispas project, how do you take this market environment when it has, quite frankly, impacted every sector? It doesn't matter what sector you're in, what your stock is doing, what sort of leverage your stock has, everything's been sold off.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's basically looking at this from the time horizon from the global financial crisis to now is we created an environment where the government was going to backstop everything. We used emergency measures with COVID to print more money and everybody was a stock market genius. And, you know, last year we had 19 years worth of capital going into the stock market in 1 year. I don't think any of us are ever going to hear a stat like that ever again. So once you get maximum dollars going in, margin leverage is going up, interest rates are low, you've run out of marginal buyers. So once the Fed signaled, uh-oh, inflation's here, or that the pandemic is over and that you no longer have emergency measures to print cash, it was who could get the sidelines first. And the hedge funds who've always gotten their heads ripped off by going short, all of a sudden could attack with impunity, knowing that the Fed wasn't going to backstop the market. So I think a lot of people got caught off guard. And this is a sell-off more about getting liquidity. And if something that is kind of a crappy name sells off really hard, well, you can't really sell that. So you go sell what you can sell. So this was an indiscriminate sell-off. And, you know, the S&P is now trading more in line with long-term averages. The actual small caps are actually trading at a bit of a discount to long-term averages. But it's going to be all about paying. And has enough money kind of come out of the market. And then it's going to force everyone to reevaluate. And why you were in the market before was largely FOMO. Now it's going to be, okay, how do I reengage? And gold and silver is always there for, financial distress. Anyone who's heard me blather on for a long time about the defense, risk, reward, mind the, you know, how do you make sure you don't screw it up and be resilient throughout all cycles? Well, these are the times that matter. And our low cost profile is resilient. Like we've always talked about $19 silver, $1,500 gold in an environment where we would have about $160 million of project level free cash flow. So you take that 160 and you have to subtract your G&A and your exploration costs. Again, some companies can't even continue to explore, right? We can still move the business forward, but we should be in the neighborhood of like 120-ish of corporate level free cash flow. But again, if you want to throw inflation at us, because we're absolutely not immune to that, you can discount that even more. You know, take that 120, take it to whatever you think is appropriate. But you're in a situation here where the stock's trading, you're still roughly at a 9 to 11% free cash flow yield at a price point under cost pressure where most of our peers are struggling to break even. So, you know, right now, if you're debating how to get back into the market, what do you buy? Well, if you're buying a break-even or close to break-even producer, you're betting on the silver price and you're inviting all sorts of operational risk on top of it. And I just don't think people need to do that. You can just go buy silver if that's your bet. But with us, we can still move the project forward. We're exiting construction with excess capital. You know, the last press release we put out, we're on time, we're on budget. We have 8 million of contingency left over as we're 95.7% complete at the end of Q1. We hope to be taking over access to the construction project at the end of this month. So what I'm trying to do is kind of poke people a little bit. All that boring defense that we've been talking about, these are the moments in time where they start to matter.
Well, Chris, I think that's an excellent point. Well, 2 points. One is that you came in under budget on a construction project that was fairly big for the Silver Space in a sea of other companies having huge cost overruns, 40%, 50%, even 90% cost overruns. We've seen a few doozies just in the last couple of weeks. So hats off to your whole operations team for pulling that off. But the other key point you made on the defensive side, while it may sound boring to investors, I'd love you to just unpack it in a simple way. I mean, you did just mention some of the metrics there, but just take us through a scenario on the sensitivity side of, you know, a company that's near parity now in their cost profile versus the insulation you have with Silvercrest.
Sure. If people wanted to go look at sort of the senior silver producers, and again, this is already a skewed number because these are the companies that actually made it. These are some tend to be the better quality projects in the hands of the senior producers, not the ones that didn't make it, not the crappy ones or the higher cost ones. These are the good ones. So we're already skewing the audience that we'll talk about here. But the average all-in sustaining cost is in the neighborhood of $18. So cost inflation's taking it higher. On the last report, we referred to one of the slides in our presentation that shows margin sensitivity to high-cost operators and low-cost operators. A few months ago, silver's at $26 and costs are at $18. Well, that's $8 a margin multiplied by how many ounces each company might be producing. Well, if that $18 ends up going to 20, because costs go up 10%, and silver goes from 26 to 21, you've gone from $8 a margin to $1 a margin. You know, the companies in that universe have not come down by 75, 80%. In fact, we've actually underperformed the GDXJ over this quarter, right? So my point is we're big, we're liquid, and people sell what they can sell. And if, again, in our feasibility study, our costs were sub $7. Now, again, those numbers were done in Q3 of 2020. So by no means are we going to be at that level. But even if people wanted to handicap that and make that 8, 9, 10, you know, for us, that margin going from 26 to 21 and costs going from sort of 7 to 9, whatever they are, we're not that sensitive to these pressures. We're going to get hit. But the fact that our stocks traded down in line with our peers, even though our valuation is not as sensitive to the movement. So the valuation opportunity has really done a reversal, right? In the sense that the high cost guys are like, well, they have more beta for a turnaround. But 12 months from now, if you're in the same boat, like, well, what's their balance sheet like? Well, now they're selling ounces at break even just to pay bills, right? You're really just gambling on price. Whereas what we're desperately trying to do is create a business. Right. And that's why with us, we were really conservative with how we manage the balance sheet. We hope to exit construction with about $40 to $50 million of excess capital above and beyond our 2022 budget. You know, we're currently, like I said, $8 million of contingency, you know, left over in our construction as we take over this project in the next few weeks. So the opportunity here that we're trying to point out, and I mean, I bought more stock today. I bought more stock in December. I bought more stock today. And when the opportunity we're trying to say is, if you flush out the weak hands that have unfortunately had some pain and maybe probably had pain in other stocks, is actually tightening up the float while still having a thesis to hang your hat on. If you're a non-profitable tech company and you're down 50%, what's the thesis, right? And it's with now with the momentum changing and the Fed not backstopping everything, how do you step back into the market with something you can't hang your hat on? So the investable universe went from how boring is gold and silver, look at this fun tech stock, to, okay, how do I step back in and protect myself while still getting back in the game after a massive sell-off? And if you were willing to buy stocks 3 weeks ago and you're not willing to buy stocks today, it just shows you that a lot of this is psychological, but it does mean that when people do come back, you got to have a reason. And we have a reason based on the fundamentals of our business. It makes us look better and better versus our peer group, the worse the market gets, right? So the dedicated funds are probably going to have to give some heavy thought about buying us for defense. So we should theoretically capture more fund flow, the worse the market gets. So again, my job here is to try to tighten up the float. And if people buy half a position because they're quite nervous, and the stock goes down another 5, 10%, 15%, whatever, I want people to see it as an opportunity because the fundamentals are there, right? And again, if you take that free cash flow profile, handicap it every way you want, right? Add costs, reduce the number of ounces produced, reduce the silver price, gold price, and stress test it as much as you can and see what pops out. But if you do the same sort of stress test with other names in your portfolio, that's a good exercise for everybody to do. And versus our peers, we're going to stand up pretty well under that sort of scope.
So, Chris, to your point about maybe different funds stepping into the market, I don't disagree with you that this has been very much a liquidity and sentiment-driven sell-off because it's hit everything. And I think why it hit everything is I think people are realizing that the Fed doesn't have their back, which does, you would think, or at least should, impact the riskier, more of the growth stocks than anything. But when it comes to other funds, to your point about maybe looking for some defensive plays, what's it going to take to get them into the silver sector or even precious metals sector? Because in all fairness, they did kind of ignore the precious metals sector, even when it was doing well as metals prices were running. Now that everything's going down, they will need to take a look elsewhere. But why are they going to come into silver? Why are they going to come into Silvercrest?
Gold and silver has always been the go-to when there's crazy financial turmoil, right? And up until now, there hasn't been financial turmoil. There's been inflation, there's been money printing, and gold and silver has gone up because of that. But going to gold and silver because you don't know where else to hide has not been part of the dynamic. And we've just taken the inflation and added to it the key element for why gold and silver has been relevant over history. And at the same time, we've removed the thesis for a lot of other sectors, or at least the valuation of a lot of other sectors, from the paradigm. So you needed to have a big shakeup to sort of wake people up to the realities. And if you read Jeremy Grantham or some of the other reports, that this market bubble was, I think, the fourth highest of all time, one of four super bubbles of all time. It's just that until it cracks, it's not broken. So now that people have to reevaluate their decision-making, they're probably scratching their heads going, how did I get into some of these stocks? And for the dedicated precious metals funds, they have to be invested, right? So they're probably not investing in the ones that need capital or don't have permits or drilling and their economics aren't great. They're going to go to liquid. They're going to go to quality. Everybody reverts back to quality. So it's kind of a double whammy for us, is the inflation plus and financial turmoil. And let's not forget, I mean, inflation's still running about 8%, and the Fed fund rate, we've only had one of 10 anticipated rate hikes. Like, this is one. And the markets are going to be throwing a tantrum. So again, you know, what happens if we get another one? If the Fed stops with the interest rate moves higher, maybe we've done enough damage or some damage to sort of mitigate the inflation. But if not, they have to keep raising rates, which means more turmoil, right? Which means more problems. But if they don't, well, that means they're not fighting inflation. So you're either getting more turmoil, which helps gold and silver, or you're getting this inflationary environment in another scenario. So the thesis for gold and silver just took a massive turn up in the last few weeks. But the real question is, which vehicles remain relevant for people to invest in if they're really worried about managing risk? And again, like I said, we've been pretty boring for a few years talking about risk management left, right, and center, and the resilience and the defense. But hopefully that is the dynamic today that allows people the confidence to step in as a form of defense as well as offense.
Hey, Chris, I give you guys credit. It was a while ago that you actually came out with the fixed contract for some of those development costs. You guys have been on top of the cost profile of this build out, and look, you are a high margin play. It again just filters back to the investors finally getting the ability or the comfort to put some more money at play and isolate the better, the stronger stocks to put that money to work for. As you mentioned, probably best to scale into some of these stocks because we don't know how much longer pressure is going to be on the markets. But hopefully at the tail end of last week, we did see a bit of a bounce and maybe a little bit more comfort coming back in. And who knows, maybe that long, multi-year, generational shift of more people coming back into resources. Either way, Chris, we do appreciate the update. And look, it's always fun following along with what Silvercrest is doing. And you guys sound very close to completion of the mine. So there's still going to be a lot of news for us to cover. If anybody wants more information from Chris on the silver market or on how that build out is going at Las Chispas, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. Chris, again, I appreciate the update. We'll chat again soon. Please keep us updated on future news.
Thanks so much. Appreciate the time.